Good morning, everybody. It is November 11th, 11/11/2021, the old Armistice Day, Veterans Day. Welcome to the ADK Homeroom. This is your home away from homeroom. I am your host, Frank, exiled from the classroom this year due to everything that is going on, but happy to be with you on these electronic internet signals. The packets coming to you. Beautiful day in the Adirondacks out there. Important to remember today all the veterans. A lot these days is made out of peace, and peace is a huge value, of course. Peace is a wonderful way, in fact, to measure how far Western civilization has come. Sometimes people will attempt to sell you on the idea that Western civilization has not progressed, that maybe we have all these amazing scientific toys, but that our morals and our philosophy is still equivalent to that of a toddler or that of a savage running around in nature beating each other up with a shillelagh or some type of oaken club. But in fact, we have made a lot of progress, right? And peace is a good measure of that. Let's see. What is a good way to test this? What is a good way to test how much progress we have made? Oh, yeah, here it is. Try this. Ask yourself, who was the Greek god of war? Pretty easy, right? That's Ares. Then you say, well, you know who the Roman god of war was. Okay, yeah, sure, still pretty easy. That's Mars. Up there, he's shining down with his red eye of Sauron on us every night. Okay, Aries, Mars, great. Now, ask yourself, who is the Greek god of peace? Aha! Not so easy, is it? Or how about the Roman god of peace? Also, more difficult to recall the Roman god of peace. Well, the Greek god of peace, of course, was Irene, if you were wondering. Irene, usually depicted as a beautiful young woman holding a cornucopia. But the point is that that illustrates, or at least it should illustrate for you, how far we have come. Because these as great as the Greek and Roman civilizations were, they launched modern society, albeit with maybe a thousand-year interregnum there. But as great as these societies were, they didn't value peace in the same way that we do. Peace is a huge value to us. The Greeks and Romans, they had these gods of war that were huge, huge to them, very important to them, central to their lives and to their literature. And their god of peace was very small. Their value they put in peace was very small. And we have reversed that today. I mean, oh my goodness, go read Herodotus or Thucydides and... You know, they're going to war like every summer out there. Oh, it's Athens, it's summertime, that's great. What are we going to do? Going to make some more honey wine? No, going to enjoy the olive trees with their silver undersides and their green on top of their leaves? No, how about we go march over there and kill that other city? Yeah, that was the summertime in ancient Greece, as great as it was, pretty much every summer rolled around. Oh, time to go trample on the Peloponnese. Well, we've made a lot of progress since then, and I think it's important to acknowledge that. And Veterans Day, a day of remembrance, a day that is well suited to acknowledging the progress toward peace that we have made. And rationalists, libertarians, we talk about this, we recognize how vitally important peace is. Sometimes, though, I do think we forget how important a strong military is for keeping that peace. And I think that forgetting to emphasize that strong military and its importance for peace, I think that costs libertarians a ton of votes at the polls, too. I really do. Just because the West's defense departments may have been more offensive in all senses than defensive over the past couple of centuries even, that doesn't mean that they must be that way. There's plenty of room for improvement there. And that's going to be the topic of our podcast here today, the room for improvement. How close your field is to its potential given the current state of technology. In other words, if your technology, if our learning on Earth allows you to be performing at a level of, say, 100, and yet your field is only producing at a level of 60 because of any number of concerns, maybe infighting, maybe rent seeking, maybe some other layer of inefficiency that's preventing you from achieving your maximum potential, then you've got a bigger Frank gap. Yes, I named it after myself. If there's another name for this idea, let me know. So that's going to be the topic for today, this gap between what you are capable, your field is capable of achieving, given the current state of technology, and what the field is actually doing. Let's jump right in. Let's jump in with physics. So physics on the plus side, dark energy discovered about 20 years ago, 1998, rather its effects, I should say, were discovered because dark energy itself still remains an enigma. No one since 1998 has been able to satisfactorily explain the origin of dark energy. Right? It's saying, we discovered in 1998 that the universe appears to be based on observations of supernova, the standard candles that allow us to accurately measure the distance to them based on their apparent magnitude and the underlying physics of these supernovae, for the plural. We're able to get a really good estimate on their distance and what's going on in the universe. It seems that what's going on is that the universe's rate of expansion is increasing, right? We are not slowing down. Back in the 80s, everybody was wondering if we would just have a big crunch, a reverse big bang in the far future of the universe, or if we would just sort of asymptotically approach a steady state with no expansion. And it turns out, based on these 1998 observations, this is pretty huge, that our universe appears to be destined to undergo a big rip, right? Everything is just expanding faster and faster and faster, accelerating its rate of expansion. It's going to sort of tear itself apart in some sense. No idea why. We plugged back in maybe the cosmological constant, but even Einstein didn't know why that term should necessarily be there in general relativity. Other areas of physics have also made advances too, right? You could look at solid state material science, multi-messenger astronomy using gravitational waves, confirmation of the Higgs boson. Of course, those latter two, gravitational waves and the Higgs boson, really just confirmation of what was predicted in previous decades, before 50 years ago, but still, confirmation is good. On the minus side of physics, you do have pretty much everything else, right? String theory has been a disappointment, supersymmetry, disappointment, no new particles, LHC, not yielding any new information. That's Large Hadron Collider over there in CERN, border of Switzerland and France. No solutions to hierarchy problem, tiny bit of progress on quantum mechanics interpretation, but no real solutions there, just more statements of problems. But hey, at least they're looking at quantum mechanics interpretations now. They could have been doing it for previous decades, and they really, really weren't. They really weren't in most of the 20th century trying to figure out what the proper interpretation of quantum mechanics were. A few things certainly have survived since then, and some people were working on it, but not with the industry, not with the numbers, not with the focus that they are working on it now. So overall, we're giving physics a 50%. They're really only doing about 50%, and over the past 50 years, they're doing a little bit better now. Their trend is upward. Trend is positive in physics, I would say, at this point, after it sort of hit rock bottom with the LHC there. Now I think we're finally moving a little bit in the right direction with physics. Let's hope it keeps going. But still, can't give a smaller gap than 50%. There's really a big gap between what could have been done over the last century in physics and what actually has been done, right? And even now, there's still way too much focus on scenarios like multiverses and the physics of transportation or the physics of banking or the physics of the power grid. And physicists still have a lot of room to do in their natural subject of physics, or their more logical subject of physics, than these other subjects. So 50% gap for them. Let's look at transportation as a sector. Well, we don't have any flying cars yet, but that's not the biggest thing. The biggest thing is the lack of self-driving cars, right? In the U.S., somewhere in the neighborhood of 30,000 traffic accident fatalities per year. And the estimates from the actuaries are that, you know, somewhere from a very conservative estimate would be a half, but more likely two-thirds or even more of these deaths could be eliminated by self-driving cars. They are just safer. But we're not doing that. We don't have self-driving cars out on the road. So this would be a big contributor to the frank gap in transportation and the transportation sector, right? Instead of allowing self-driving cars, what are we doing? We've got this infrastructure bill out there that is attempting to address this problem by making cars less user-friendly, more expensive, harder to use, installing these monitoring cameras and breathalyzers, more passive systems, more ways for things to go wrong, more opportunities for Murphy's Law. And, you know, they're installing these because they supposedly want to make sure the driver isn't impaired. They want to make sure that there are fewer fatalities on the road. Okay, drunk driving accidents, though, occur for or account for about one-third of the fatalities here in the United States. So AI self-driving cars would be much better, according to the estimates, in terms of reducing fatalities. And there are a lot more contributors to the gap here in transportation. Other than, you know, gadgets and marginal safety improvements, though, think about it. Is your transportation all that different or better than it was in 1970, other than gadgets and some safety improvements? You could say air travel is a lot cheaper, but you'd also have to acknowledge that the quality of air travel has gone way down. If you remember what travel was like on an airplane in the 70s and the 80s, then you are probably constantly disappointed by the experience now. From the moment you drive into the airport until the moment you leave your destination airport, it is nothing like it used to be, that experience. Granted, it is cheaper, though. So overall, the gap here is 60%. It's a pretty hard fail for transportation. There are obvious life-saving solutions that would transcend the sector of economy, right? That AI would kickstart all kinds of other areas. AI could spread from there, and yet we're not using it. So this is an even bigger gap than physics, and physics describes itself as being in the nightmare scenario. At least they have some self-awareness of what's going on in their discipline. Transportation, I don't see too many secretaries of transportation getting out there and saying we're in a nightmare scenario. Let's look at something a little more sanguine outlook in computer science right here. Computer science, true, we don't have quantum computers yet, but it's not apparent that that's not a technological limitation. I don't see any onerous legislation or regulations that are preventing computer scientists from getting to quantum computers, even though everybody in the year 2000 did forecast the advent of quantum computers by the year 2012 or so. Even though everybody forecast that, I don't know that it's the quantum computing scientists who are to blame, right? It is perhaps just a lot harder problem than we thought. That's what I think it is, in fact. And overall, computer science, other than that failure to get these quantum computers, which is probably not a social failure, other than that, computer science is going great guns here, right? They are firing on all batteries. And this isn't a relative grading scale, but it's probably worth noting that computer science has produced more wealth than any other sector, I think, in the economy in the last 40 years. tremendous, tremendous progress in computer science, right? FANG tech stocks, Facebook, Amazon, Apple, Netflix, Google. This is driving the growth in the stock market in the United States. Well, that and the fact that various policies have made it almost silly to put a bulk of your investments anywhere but the stock market. That does tend to help the stock market out, doesn't it? But seriously, the tech stocks have driven it, and those are largely computer science stocks. It's really a tremendous revolution that computer science has had. Very small Frank gap here, 5%. 5% in the computer science field. And that's just because they're not perfect, and there have been some policies governing, you know, they talk about net neutrality. That's what it's called, net neutrality, and they definitely wasted some time there in the computer science field. But overall, 5% gap there, that's actually doing super, super well. Let's take a look at poetry. Poetry also, perhaps surprisingly to some people, not doing as poorly as it was. After 100 years of madness, so to speak, poetry is back. Really, probably started with Christian Wiman's time a decade and a half ago, 2 decades ago now, I guess, as editor of Poetry, great journal founded there by Harriet Monroe out in Chicago about 110 years ago now. Poetry is still struggling a bit due to academic inertia, but there are signs of life here. There really has been a ton more good poetry published than in a long time over the last 20 years. And part of that's due to anyone and his brother being able to start an internet journal. That's a good thing. That's a good thing. Getting more out there. And we have to say poetry really only about a 25% gap here. There are still some insider publishing concerns, some old poets network type stuff that goes on, lingering effects of Pound and modernism. But overall, we are going to peg it at a 25% gap. Let's look at healthcare. Ooh, not nearly as positive an outlook here with healthcare. People really do not comprehend how affordable healthcare could be if we just got out of our way. This profession has been dying. Doctor profession, the medical profession has been dying since the 1960s. Doctors really did used to make house calls, right? Watch Brady Bunch. Watch any of those shows back there. Or if you're old enough, just remember, right? Doctors really did have house calls then. Doctors really did do pro bono work. A significant fraction of their work was for free, just to help people out in their community. I saw it. I was there. My father was a physician. So people forget about the advances that are possible. Also, we could have made a ton of progress on immortality. Could have had progress in long youth. Could have made a lot of advancements if we had only viewed old age as a disease, as something that needs to be solved, something that needs to be cured, I guess I should say. And they didn't. They didn't. They wasted, the healthcare profession wasted tons of time not seeing old age as a disease. And that bothers me. It's pretty upsetting. So huge, huge gap right here. Obviously, these days, government interference is driving up the costs, adding inefficiencies, inverting the patient-doctor relationship. Makes the doctor more concerned with the government than with the patient, because who's paying the doctor? Well, if the doctor's getting paid from the government, then that's where the doctor's focus is going to be. So terrible sector here, 80% gap. We're going to say 80% here, nowhere close to as good as possible, right? Just think what you could have with a better FDA, with a residency system that didn't turn potential doctors away with the threat of slave labor for 3 to 5 years of the prime of their life. So much more is possible here. All right, let's swing the pendulum the other way. Let's look at the field of gaming. Much smaller gap here. It is a beautiful time to be a gamer, right? And at its most ambitious, gaming is a high form of art, and we have more of it now than at any time in human history.
two new genres, completely new, computer gaming and role-playing gaming, never before seen in the course of history. Both just invented within the past 50 years. You also have sports and esports that are still huge or have become huge. And if you consider gaming as rules intended for play, really, the rules across the board are better. They've been constantly evolving. And we have more play than ever. Chess is at a peak right now. And these aren't relative rankings, but it's really hard to think of another field that is doing more to meet its potential than gaming is right now. When you look at ways it could improve, right, given the current technology, there's no easy low-hanging fruit out there. The way you can look at, you know, healthcare and say, well, obviously, if we didn't have laws enabling rent seeking, we'd have lower drug prices, right? So small, super small gap right here. You could, I guess you could point to some wokeness creeping into gaming, right? Dungeons and Dragons in particular has had issues with this, but, you know, the people on the side of the wokeness here, they actually have a point for once. They are correct in some of their objections to some of the things Dungeons and Dragons was doing. And finally, right, I think you guys know, if you've been listening to this podcast, before kids came along, I used to work for Dungeons and Dragons. I freelanced, and you can Google me and Dungeons and Dragons, you can see. But and I pointed these out to Chris Perkins and Mike Merles and some other people 20 years ago, right? They had things like intelligent elementals and Eberron being enslaved in their airships. And that's just ridiculous. So that change is a welcome one, and the wokeness there does have a valid point that, you can't just, in the monster manuals, you can't just go around saying these intelligent species, every single one of them is chaotic evil. That's ridiculous. So Dungeons and Dragons did have some improvement there that they needed to make, and they are working on that. So, you know, really hard. We're talking like a 1% gap. Let's say 1% gap here in gaming between what they could have achieved and what they are achieving. Really great job there. Now let's look at art as a whole, I guess we should say. You think of Yeats, right? When I think of art as a whole, I always think of William Butler Yeats talking about how he wanted to sail to Byzantium and how he couldn't imagine a place. This isn't in the poem, it's in some of his other writings. He can't imagine a place where art was more integrated into daily life than it was in ancient Byzantium. Well, I say ancient Byzantium, but, you know, he's probably talking around the year 700, I guess, maybe 200 years after the Nika riots, somewhere in there. Not exactly antiquity with the Greeks and Romans. Anyway, Yeats saying that back in there, he wants to burn in their fire, pern in their gyre, blah, 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 blah. Because, you know, nothing could beat Byzantium in terms of integrating art and daily life. Well, holy cow, you know, the early 20th century in Ireland must have been a very different place from where I'm living now, or else maybe Yeats was just too into Maud to see it, who knows? But there is no way Byzantium has more art in its daily life than we do now, right? I mean, I've been over there. I've seen, walked through the Byzantine ruins, a bunch of them, seen their mosaics in their church and their timbres, right? They have, you know what, in their monasteries and stuff there, they had these big wooden logs hanging down, and they would beat on them to wake the monks up and to call the monks into the mess hall for their monkish meals. And I look at that, you're beating on a log, and how do we wake up nowadays? Drake comes on singing Too Sexy. Which one is more artful, banging a log or Drake coming on Too Sexy? You know, were monks walking around those monasteries with AirPods in? Do they have Netflix and GTA 5 and books for free? No, they absolutely did not. Absolutely. So much art now. And I guess you could talk about the quality, but if you look at the commercial side of art right now, it's great. Fine art, what's called fine art these days, yeah, it sucks, but its value never has been as art. It's just a positional good, an investment tool. And so we're not even considering that stuff. Those sculptures that look like crashed helicopters that nobody bothered to clean up, we're not considering those as art in this category. So really, overall, art is doing quite well. We're going to say 10% gap, 10% gap for art. Really good job. The problem here, the 10% that they could close is the academics, right? The academics, if they hadn't made their Faustian bargain to support the so-called fine art market, then they could be helping out here. Still, 10% is really small. And yes, I suppose that is a comment on the ability of or the amount the academics would be contributing if they were on board with actual art. Only missing about a 10% gap there. And also, let me just point out that the academics supporting, you know, paint vomit on a canvas as art, that has done as much as the CDC has to undermine the public's faith in so-called experts, right? If they look at this and they see that the experts in the art field are praising something that a four-year-old can do, and that gorillas in this zoo in Germany have done, and confuse the art critics, right? You've seen those studies or that hoax exposure, I guess you could say. That undermines the public's faith in the experts. So, yeah, 10% gap, 10% gap for the art field. Really doing a great job. Even at the beginning of my career teaching, you know, if a kid said they wanted to grow up and be an artist, I would say, great, go do it. If that's your thing, you got to do it. But let me list out some challenges for you and let me show you how to overcome those challenges. And there are a lot of them. Nowadays, kid says they want to be an artist. I say, great, which kind? You know, there are many ways to succeed in the art field these days and have a steady paying job. It's almost like in the old guild days in the Renaissance. Okay, education. Let's just rapidly move through some of these other fields here. Education. I mean, do I even have to talk about this? The one thing to point out about education field, we're going to say 70% gap. There's no way that education is living anywhere close to its potential. Huge gap, 70% gap between its maximum 100% potential and where it actually is performing. And it could be even bigger, right? In pre-K through 12, we're talking 85% gap. Just nuts, nutty stuff going on in education right now. But it does. The thing to point out about education in the United States is that the American universities, by and large, are still the greatest in the world. There are certainly equally great ones other places in the world, but perhaps not as many of them all within the same country. So that gets, you know, if you were just grading the higher education market in the United States on its Frank gap, probably only like a 50% gap, right? It's much closer to its potential. Still far away, thanks to wokeness and the lack of respect for free speech and all the other attendant concerns that come sloshing in with wokeness when that chamber pot gets emptied over you. But it would be even worse, or it is even worse, if we include the pre-K through 12. You know, pre-K through 12 education is abysmal in the United States. And I say that having been a part of it for 25 years, I've seen it, and it ain't pretty, folks. All right, space exploration is even worse, though, even larger gap, 90% gap in space exploration. And if you don't know why, then you should go and listen to my podcast on the Orion Project, Nuclear Pulse Propulsion. Would it have worked? We're not sure. We're not sure. But that's why it's a 90% gap and not a 99.9% gap. If it did work, if nuclear pulse propulsion did work, you would be living in a vastly different world. There would already be colonies on Mars if we had chosen to use it. And it is only fear that has caused us to turn away from the Orion Project and nuclear pulse propulsion. Next, psychology. Psychology actually has a pretty small Frank gap right now, only about 35%. Why? Well, because people are starting to realize the importance of it, and people are employing it for many, many, many years, in fact, up until just about now. It's kind of like gaming. It's at a high point in terms of all of human history. people didn't recognize how important psychology was. Sports teams didn't have a psychologist sitting on their staff, even though people constantly talked about the importance of momentum and the yips and how vital it was for people to be focused and intense and concentrating and motivated. And yet, psychologists were not staples on the staff of professional sports teams. Just, you know, that's as bizarre to me as the fact that people didn't view old age as a disease. I mean, it's just obviously the case that psychologists were needed in sports teams. And so they finally are. They finally are in esports, and people are also using psychologists in daily life way more than they used to. So psychology really only like a 30% gap there. And most of the gap there comes from the fact that psychology still has a lot of work to do on evolutionary psychology, obviously, but also the Thomas Schaaf-like ideas that separate mental illness from political oppression. Still a lot of work to do there. Continuing on our optimistic sunny side here, let's look at material science. Really about a 20% gap right here. Almost all of that is administration, government overhead, perhaps some misguided attempts to develop some technology, some materials for technologies that really didn't deserve as much attention as they could have had or as they received. For example, I would put things like wind power in here. Wind power is important, but I think it's been over invested in. Anyway, great progress in material science, from batteries to medical implants to communications materials. Absolutely super right here. So people are focused on the right things. Only 20% gap there. A couple other more important ones to hit. I think my kids are starting to go crazy up there, so we are going to have to wind down this podcast. But Department of Defense, I would say 50% gap right here, but maybe after the CDC and the pandemic revealed the CDC's decay, maybe the US DOD hasn't really been tested by a peer lately, and we have to put that gap a little bit bigger. Maybe 60% gap. Worrisome that they are blind to the ways that a new war will be fought. And of course, we have to finish with the CDC and the FDA and the public health sector. We're talking a 95% gap is probably even too small. They have not approved a single sunscreen since the 1990s. They stopped testing for the worst pandemic in 100 years. They consider it their goal to prevent harm rather than to look at a balanced approach and overall contribute to greater human life. They would, it seems, rather prevent one accidental death than approve a medicine that would save thousands of lives. Seriously, they really see themselves as being, it's more important for them to save that one life than it is to approve a medicine that could save thousands of lives. So, horrible job there. Absolutely horrible job. They could be doing much, 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 much better from everything about it. Drug approval to testing. They couldn't do a worse job if they were going to randomly walk out and start injecting chemicals into people against their will, which is almost, according to some people, what they are going to do. Now, that was your quick tour through a bunch of different fields. Obviously, we could visit a bunch of other fields and assign some gap scores to them, but we're going to call it there today. Some real life concerns are pressing, and we have to move on. Don't forget that yesterday was the Edmund Fitzgerald anniversary. All 29 men perished when the ship sank to the bottom of Lake Superior. Anybody who grew up in the Great Lakes probably, at least when I did, knows somebody who has lost the lakes. It's no joke out there. Nature is merciless. So be careful, folks. Take care. And remember to subscribe. Remember to give me some feedback. How annoying is it to you when my kids make noise like they are up there running around? Usually I do these podcasts before they wake up, but it's Veterans Day. They're all home from school, and we're operating on a little bit of a later schedule. So, folks, take care. I will see you soon.